Yud Gimel Av, 17th of August, Rabbi Akiva Josovic, Halochas for Zeche Lechoven.
Good morning. Thank you for coming in a busy summer period, those who remain in town. I'll begin with Parshas Veschanan. It's nice that I'm from Eretz Yisrael, so it's nice that in Chutz Laaretz you've caught up with us and had some last week. We can share Parshas HaShavua as well. So the pasuk, the parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu's Vayeschanan El Hashem Vayisehi Leimar. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu Loshen Techina, Loshen of Tefila, Chinun, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow him to Eretz Yisrael. Chazal say the Vayeschanan is actually the number of tefillas which Moshe Rabbeinu dedicated to his quest to enter Eretz Yisrael. Vayeschanan is gematria Tov Kuf to the Tesavot Chazal say, which is 515. That's the number of tefillas that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'is Ahi. So first of all, what is Ba'is Ahi? So Rashi mentions Nachal Shekavashti Eretz Sichon Ve'Og. After Moshe Rabbeinu was Zeuchet to be the one who led the conquest of Eretz Sichon Ve'Og Ve'Ivar Yarden, so the Pashto says, Rashi says, that he assumed that there might be an opportunity here, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has nevertheless allowed Moshe Rabbeinu enter some part of Eretz Yisrael, not only enter some part of Eretz Yisrael, actually be the instigator, be the leader of the conquest of Eretz Sichon Ve'Og, which technically was part of Eretz Yisrael, at least after it was conquered. In fact, the Mishnah says that Mivim Bikurim Eiva HaYardin has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was under the impression that perhaps the Hutra HaShavua, the Shavua which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaNeder, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Moshe Rabbeinu can't enter Eretz Yisrael, might have been Mutter, because we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to conquer Eretz Sichon Ve'Og. So another side of this point of Eretz, of why Moshe Rabbeinu might have thought Hutra HaNeder, I heard according to the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua talk, there's a Pnei Yeshua in Parshas in Bora Basra. Sorry, in Brochus Lamed Beis. The Gemara in Brochus actually uses the Parsha of Veschanan as a hakdoma of sorts of how Seidat Tefillah works. And the Gemara says that we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu's Veschanan and Hashem. It begins the pasuk with Hashem Elokim Atarei Chiloi Sela Haaretz Avdecha Et Godlecha Ve'Yodcha Chazoka. It starts with describing Godlecha Ve'Yodcha Chazoka. And then the next pasuk after he said Mikel Hashemayim Ve'Oretz. Then he says Er Barono. So Chazal say that we see from Moshe Rabbeinu the klolim of how we begin tefillah. And in fact that we start with Shvoche Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, before we can actually come to our individual requests. So the Shvoche Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, which is how we daven, and then we come on to our requests of Atochinin, etc. So interestingly, the Medrash Rabbah actually says that we see from the Hakdoma of Medrash Rabbah, when the Medrash Rabbah talks about the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, brings Veschanan El Hashem Vayisehi Leimar, that we daven three Tefillahs every day. It's a bit of a Medrash Pliya. Why three Tefillahs every day? How is that connected to Veschanan? What's the three Tefillahs every day got to do with Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillahs and Veschanan? And the three Tefillahs every day, on the other hand, does seem to tie in with what the Medrash says, that this parsha is actually a limud of how generally we're supposed to daven with the Shvoche Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tchila, which is how we do actually do Shemoneh Esrei three times every day. So the Pnei Yeshua is a very interesting mahalach for the mathematicians between us. The Pnei Yeshua makes a cheshbon that the parsha of Ba'isahi, in fact, is not here. He says actually, Ba'isahi actually refers to the Tkufa from Tu Ba'av onwards, which is the day after tomorrow. Because the previous parasha, which says Kasha Tamu Kol Adoyim of the Mesa Midbar to die in the Midbar, and we know that the Mesa Midbar stopped dying from the Tu Ba'av. Well, actually, they stopped dying the year before, because they died every year until Shabbat. And the last year in the Midbar, they assumed they were going to die also on Tisha B'Av, and it didn't happen, which is the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Chaf Beis, and they didn't die that year, and that's why Tu B'Av became a Yontov, because they thought maybe they'd made a mistake with the dates, and they watched for the every night they were waiting to die until they saw that the moon was a full moon in the middle of the month. It must have passed Tisha B'Av, and it was a time of rejoicing. Pnei Yeshua makes a cheshbon. That the Pasha who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu again. The Gemara says that the whole tkufa of the Avedas in the Midbar either connected with the fact that they were Avedas because they were dying every year, the Midbar, or to do with the fact that they were not zecher to go into Eretz Yisrael. It was a tkufa when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a direct speech with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There wasn't a dvorim between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. There were messages which Moshe Rabbeinu got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there was no direct speech during that tkufa. And that started again after the gzeira was cancelled or finished at the end of the tkufa in the Midbar. And that's in fact the tkufa, the end of last week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu started talking about the Nachlas Haaretz. And after Kadosh Baruch Hu started Moshe speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu again, Kasher Tamud, the next pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe." So his cheshbon is that from Tu B'Av until Zayin Ba'Adar, which is when Moshe Rabbeinu died, if you make a cheshbon of seven ends of months, four of which were Meleis and three were Chaseres, he makes a cheshbon that there was 200 days between Tu B'Av and Zayin Va'adar. He says if you subtract the days of Shabbosos, 28 Shabbosos, which we don't have individual supplications in Shabbos Tchinos, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have asked for Kodesh Baruch Hu for his entering Eretz Yisrael on those days. So there's 172 days multiplied by three tefillos is 516. So we're off by one. Whereas the Pnei Yeshua says that, I would have suggested perhaps that on Moshe Rabbeinu died in Zayin Ba'adar, maybe he died before Mincha. But he says that perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu began davening only after the night, because in the night of Tu B'Av, they still didn't know until the moon came out whether there was a day of Simcha, not till the next morning. So perhaps he started his davening only the next morning. So what was the connection? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu Davka start on Tu B'Av? So perhaps the pshat is that on Tu B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hutra HaNeder, like Rashi says. What was the Neder? So not just the point was that Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed him to conquer Eretz Yichon Ve'Og, which we don't have any makor that actually was on Tu B'Av, but in fact this was the time when he saw that the Meis HaMikvah stopped dying, and not only that, according to Tosfos in the Gemara in Bava Basra, in fact the last group who was supposed to have died in that last year remained alive. They didn't die. It's actually Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos exactly what happened. According to Rashi, according to Rashbam, it would seem that in fact the number of those who died every year was actually higher on the cheshbon at the last year. The last year they didn't die, but in fact all those who were supposed to have died did die. Tosfos says a chiddush that in fact the last group who was supposed to have died on the last Tisha B'Av actually did not die. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Hutra Neder, that even the Meis HaMidbar were actually allowed, some of them were allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu had a havamina that, okay, so maybe I can also now start davening. And that's his Tov Kuf Tesvov Tefillis. To progress to the to the Noisa, which was mentioned on the notice, the Kufa, in fact, after Hilchos Tisha B'Av and Shulchan Aruch, we have Hilchos Simen, which talks about making a Zecher L'Chorban, which is, although the Avelis is completed to an extent on how we Mekayim on Tisha B'Av itself, however, there's an all-year-long Inyan to do certain Pe'ulos, which are Zecher L'Chorban. And that's a Simen and Shulchan Aruch of how we do this. It's also a Gemara, actually also in Bava Basra, the end of third Perek. The Gemara has an interesting discussion between Rabbi Yeshua And a group of people who believed that after the Chumash Hamikdash there were certain aspects of the Vedas which had to continue all along. And the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. For some reason, this was only after the Chumash in the second Beis Hamikdash. There was a whole group of Prushin in Israel who felt that from that time onwards they would stop drinking wine and stop eating meat. The Gemara says Nitpal lehen Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua decided that it was his obligation to correct their actions. He felt they were wrong. And he decided to argue with them and explain why they were not supposed to, in fact, abstain from wine and meat from then onwards because of the Chumash Hamikdash. And they claimed that what they said was, how can we eat meat and how can we drink wine when there's no nesachim on the mizbeach and there's no karbonos? That's something which is unfathomable. And Rabbi Yeshua said, in that case, he had a whole argument with them. In that case, you shouldn't eat fruits because there were no bikurim, and you shouldn't eat bread, and you shouldn't drink water because there's no sachimayim. And there was a so you get to a point where it's impossible. And on the one hand, the Gemara explains the reason why these type of gezeiros are not in place is because ein rov hatzibur yochel la'amod. You don't make a gezeira which is not practical to keep, and most people will not be able to keep it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua actually seems to bring mekoros for it. why we don't have these gezeiros? So Rabbi Yeshua actually says that kach omu chachamim. So what is the correct measure of what is supposed to be kept as far as Avedis is concerned after the Chumash Hamikdash and on a daily basis. So the Gemara says Kach Omer Chacham, the correct measure is that one should have you can decorate your home in an ordinary manner. However, leave one area of Amar Lama. So Yosef adds in his Amar Lama, and the Chista adds in it should be opposite the door. and then further the Chazal said, Oysa Adam called Tzorchi Suda Meshayed Alamut. When one prepares a festive Suda, it seemed that there was a standard amount of courses, a standard variety on the table, and something would have to be left out. The same is true with Isha called Tachshiteh. A woman shouldn't wear all of her tachshitim in one time. And again, it seems that there was a certain standard amount of tachshitim which women would wear. So actually leaving something out would be something which would be nikah, something which would be noticeable as a sign of Zeicha L'Chorban. So first of all, I would like to discuss what the gedder of these things are, and perhaps the easiest springboard would be the din of sod adam beis habesid, in other words, the decoration of the home, which is the most practical for us halacha, which the Gemara in fact actually is more marich about than the other halachas, because we don't have today these type of sudas or tachshitin which were standard in those days, which we can actually have an omission, which would be nikkur as a sign of zecher l'chorban. So the Gemara says, la'yosod, previously the Gemara said, brings a braisa, in fact, in connection with the sugya in Bar Basra, because the sugya in Bar Basra is discussing using public domain for personal property. Now, somebody has a property and there's parts of his house which actually lean over, whether it's a second floor balcony which is going over into or boards or beams which lean over into a shusarabim and might be an obstacle at a certain level. And Chazal and the Gemara says that there are situations when a person got reshus in advance he'd originally in fact moved his house into his own property and allowed the public domain to actually use part of his property. In that case, he can actually use the space if he wants to use it again, because it's his own property in the first place. However, years go by, and we're not sure anymore whether that's true, whether in fact he had owned this property in the past, and his house was actually leading out into his own space, or whether in fact a previous owner had actually built into a shasarat. So the Gemara says that if we find this property with that type of characteristic, we assume that it was actually done by heter. We assume that originally he'd actually been koinus heter shaloi before he actually built out towards the shasarabim afterwards, whether it's certain parts of his house or a second level, and therefore we can't force him to actually to demolish it. The Braisa actually says that if this house at some point falls or is demolished, there's no heter to actually rebuild with the same parts which lean out into a shusarabim. In other words, although, unless we can prove, obviously, that it was his property. However, we've got no proof, we're just assuming that because it's already there, we can assume it's done by heter, and in the past it was actually his own property, and if he was allowed to build out and towards the shusarabim area, we assume that it was done by heter. However, if at some point that house is demolished, you can't rebuild it on the assumption that in fact it was done by heter.
No hazuka.
Exactly. But there's a hazuka as long as it exists, but it doesn't prove as a fact that in fact we can assume that it was his to the extent that you can actually rebuild it. So the Gemara's got a kasha, and the Gemara compares this to a similar situation with somebody who has a house which is fully decorated and there's no area which was left for Zeichel Chorban. And the Brayse also says, even though the halacha is you're not allowed to completely decorate your home, however, if the house was there already, one doesn't have to actually remove what was there. And the same thing the Brayse says, that if the house was later demolished or redecorated, you can't redecorate the whole house again. You have to assume that you have to actually leave an area for Zeichel Chorban as well. So that's true. The Gabi Zeichel Chorban, the halacha of Baba Basra, building into Shasarabim, the Mishnah says Areza Bechezkosa, and Rav Huna said that you are allowed to rebuild it. Sorry, which I said before, you're not allowed to rebuild it. Rav Huna says you are allowed to rebuild even if the house fell down. In other words, the chazaka for Baba Basra, building into Shasarabim, is effective even after the house was demolished. You can actually rebuild it in the same state it was before. Which is the steer which the Gemara asks from the halacha of Zeichel Chorban, where you're not allowed to rebuild it. So the Gemara answers Isur Hashani. There's a difference between the Isur of redecorating your home, then the halacha of Momenus, the halacha of Chazkas Momen, that you're allowed to build into Shusarabim even after the house was demolished. So the Tosfos seems to understand that these halachas are in fact comparable on every level. In other words, the chazak which we assumed you're allowed to leave your house built in towards the shusarabim because it was there originally is because we assumed that the previous owner had actually done this beheta and he'd actually moved his wall in towards his own property and this building out which was done later was actually over his own property. However, if it was demolished, you can actually rebuild it because we rely on that chazaka. So Tosfos assumes that this is true with Zeichel Chorban as well. That when we say that you are allowed to leave your home completely decorated if you bought it that way, or if it was already that way before you knew, you can leave it that way because we assume it was beheter. So says Tosfos, what does that mean beheter? You have to leave a Zeichel Chorban. So how could it have been done better? So Tosfos says we assume that this house was built and decorated before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, which automatically removes this from our scope of halacha because I don't know if we can find a house today which was decorated maybe built from before the Beis HaMikdash. There are some very old buildings, but to actually say that people are living there and it was decorated from that time is unlikely. However, the Gemara assumes that when the Gemara is making this comparison to the halacha of Bava Basra, in fact, we're talking about the same type of chazaka, cheskas heter. It was actually, we assumed, because it's there already, that it must have been done in the past beheter, which means that this house must have been built and decorated before the Beis HaMikdash was chorev.
And if you redecorate,
so then the halacha is that if you redecorate, you have to leave a zecher l'chorban. If you redecorate the house, you can't leave it as it was. So that's the kasha which the Gemara asks. Then why is this different to the halacha of mominus? And the Gemara says isura shani. For some reason, isura we often find is more chomer than mominus. Now, the Rashbam, in fact, doesn't seem to learn that way. The Rashbam makes no comparison between the state of chazaka which we discussed with the mominus, assuming that it was done beheta in the past when, by actually moving back into your own property, and the chazaka of your house which was built, which was actually there. You bought a house, or you owned a house which already was decorated previously, and there's no Zecher L'Chorban remaining on the walls. The Rashbam makes no comparison over there. The Rashbam makes only one comparison when he explains this Gemara, and that is that we see that something which you're allowed to leave when it's there ready, you can only leave it whilst it's still standing. But to actually replace that situation, which seems to be a situation which you're not allowed to have, but once it's there, you leave it. Once you replace it, we consider that a new house. We don't say you're just replacing the old house which was there already, and if it's there already, we can have it that way. And that's the comparison between the two sugyas. Now, the Rashbam is trying to show us that although the two sugyas are very different, and we can't compare the chazaka of Bava Basra, which is a chazaka meaning that the Cheskas Heter we assume because it's already there that it might have been done by Heter. Whereas the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the Zecher L'Chorban which we do in the home, is something which the Rashbam assumes from the Gemara that we're not talking about something which could have been done by Heter, because probably even in the times of the Gemara it might be something which is not very Shechiach. And even if it was, it's not clear that a house which was decorated before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have to be done a Zecher L'Chorban to that house as well. It's Tosfos Chiddush who said that if a house was built and decorated before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, there would be no halacha of Zecher L'Chorban. In other words, the Rashbam seems to be assuming that the halacha of Zecher L'Chorban has nothing to do with when it was built, but in fact, the halacha of Zecher L'Chorban in and of itself was never a takana to actually destroy or ruin your decorated home. The halacha was just when you're actually decorating and doing something with simcha, like similar to, in fact, to the suda or festive suda or tachshitim. In other words, when you're doing something which is particularly connected with simcha and something which is connected with rejoicing, like decorating a home, we actually don't do it completely. We actually leave something for a zecher l'chorban. However, there was never takana to actually remove an existing decorated home, or just even remove part of your decoration as a Zecher L'Chorban. And therefore, at that stage, there's no comparison between the two sugyas. The only comparison between the two sugyas is that we find in the halachas of Zecher L'Chorban a similar idea, that once it's there already, you can't replace it if it was demolished. In other words, we don't say, well, you're just rebuilding the same home, you're actually just putting back the same decoration which was there anyway, and if it was allowed before, if you were allowed to replace it. And that same idea we seem to find in the halachas of Bava Basra, of a home which was allowed to have been there, again, for a different reason, because there the chazaka means that we can rely on the fact that probably there was a heter before, and therefore, and replacing that home should also be, just like replacing a decorated home, for the halacha zecher l'chorban, we don't consider it a replacement of the same, we say it's like building a new home, and therefore you have to leave a zecher l'chorban. In the same idea, the Gemara assumed that in Bava Basra, if you can't consider it replacing the existing home, which in fact would make a bit more sense, maybe in a way also, that we would, just like the chazaka, if the chazaka proved to us that it was allowed, because it was there already. So what changed when the house was demolished? It was allowed, so why can't we say the same? Just like it was there before, we can say that it's allowed, it might have been mutter even afterwards. But we're saying that this is like, the old house is completely gone, we're not replacing something which is there, we're actually, it's as if you're building something new, and the halacha would be comparative. So the Gemara says, it's a Roshani, there's no comparison between the two. So that seems to be a difference between the Rashbam and Tosfos and how we learn this sugya. Interestingly enough, Rambam and Shulchan Aruch are much more like the Rashbam, not like Tosfos. And we don't find in the earlier poskim anybody who says Beferish like Tosfos in that way. The Mogen Avraham is probably the first of the poskim who actually brings this Tosfos lahalocha. And even though the way it seems in Shulchan Aruch, the mashmois of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, which gets the lashon from the Rambam, is not like that. The Rambam brings this halacha of when you build a house, you have to leave a zecher l'chorban. And the Rambam says, however, if the house was already decorated, ein mechayvim oyster nikloy v'ksolim. We're not mechayvim to actually remove existing plaster on the walls. The lashon of ein mechayvim oyster nikloy is mashma that we're not matriach. We don't. The takana didn't include a chiyuv to remove what was there. It's not mashma that there's a union of chazoko here that we assume it was done by heter. And in fact, it would be important to mention this type of halacha because it makes a nafkamina. If the heter is because of the house which was built on the Zman Beis Hamikdash, if that metzias is not the case in a particular situation, particularly in the time of the Shulchan Aruch in the Rambam, it was very unlikely that this was the case in most houses. In fact, in the time of the Gemara, it was also quite likely that a good percentage of houses were not houses which one could have assumed was Nivna Beheta, before, like Tosfos is before the Chorban. And therefore it should have been mentioned that this Chazaka is not really, it doesn't apply in all cases. In fact, the Ritvaz says Beferish, that the fact that the Gemara does not mention this differentiation between houses which were built prior to the Chorban or after, that's even a raya that in fact the halacha applies even to homes which were built before the Chorban, that one would have assumed they would have to have a Zechel Chorban. However, the Ritvaz proves from here that in fact the reason why you don't have to remove plaster from the walls is because there never was such a takana. The takana didn't include destroying existing decoration. It only meant that when you actually build and decorate a home, well, you don't complete it. Whereas there's no halacha of removing what was there already. So the Ritvaz is Beferish. The Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, mashma in that way. The Rashbam is mashma that he argues on Tosfos. And the Tosfos seems to be the makor, or the only makor in the Rishonim for this chiddush, that there was in fact a heter of leaving a house decorated only because it was built before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, which wouldn't apply in most situations in the time of the Gemara Rishonim, definitely, and today definitely. And in fact, it's like a chiddush at the Mogen Avraham, is sort of bringing back this Tosfos lahalacha. It seems against other Rishonim, and the Mogen Avraham is actually. Mogen Avraham is brought in the Achronim after the Mogen Avraham, all seem to take on the halacha like the Mogen Avraham and like Tosfos, is chus the Mogen Avraham. So the Mogen Avraham seems to be the halacha in that way. There's another issue which is interesting. The other Ephraim asks, the Mogen Avraham actually adds, because again, it's not really Negea nowadays, so the Mogen Avraham actually adds another chiddush of his own. The Mogen Avraham says that if a goy built a home, even after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, one would also assume that is considered beheta, like Tosfos. Which is a shtickle plea, because then why didn't Tosfos mention it? Tosfos says beheta, b'shas Chorban Abayis, before the Chorban Abayis, which in Tosfos' times definitely wasn't really negeh anymore. And Tosfos should have mentioned also the other heta of the Mogen Avraham, that was nivnei beheta al-yedei goy, even nowadays. So the other friend actually asks, why is it not mentioned? and it could be that in fact that this even according to Tosfos, Tosfos maybe didn't mention it because he held it wasn't true. Maybe Tosfos held that that a goy who builds a home after the Churban Beis HaMikdash is no better than a Jew who builds a home. In fact, it might even be worse, because if we consider the situation of a home built and decorated by a goy when the Kodesh Baruch Hu's house is not complete, why is the goy any better? It was built behet, in other words, the goy didn't do any avera. But as far as we're concerned, of having a zecher l'churban in a home, it's now my home and I live there. And the fact that I know that a goy built it before me, why does that make any reason why I shouldn't have to? If in fact there is an inyan of liklei pasulim, if in fact the original takana included actually removing existing decoration. So that's just an interesting. Although la halacha we would take on, definitely Ashkenazim would take on like the Mogen Avraham, because the place came after him also bring the Mogen Avraham la halacha. But there's definitely almi lismoich, particularly the Achronim actually brought for already hundreds of years, that trying to find a moira hetzer, because a lot of people did not used to be makayim this union of leaving a zecher l'churban when they're decorating their homes. So definitely, there's yeshal milismorich if a home was decorated prior to what we know of, to actually leave it there. In fact, the Rabbi mentions that if a Jew himself decorated his home by Isser, and he after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, obviously, and it was done by a Jew, assuming that Mogen Avraham is right, that if a goy does it, then it might be also considered to be a heter. But if a Jew did it, then it would be there would be an inyan of mesakin hamauvus. If a Jew actually did something that he was not allowed to do, then he would be chayav to remove the decoration from his wall, because it was done be'issa, not only because it was done be'issa, because actually a Jew did something wrong. So actually a way of correcting what he did wrong would be to remove that decoration, which might even be true, even if we say that the gedder of the tekona never included removing decoration which was there already. But however, if according to the Svar of the Rava, that there's an inyan of a Jew correcting what he did wrong, at least to that extent, there might be an inyan to remove decoration which a Jew himself had done by Issa. However, that would probably apply only to the person who did it. If somebody else did it by Issa, even if it was a Yid before me, if I now owned the house, according to that one, we wouldn't have to remove decoration. Just a sign from it. Rav Shimon Schwab was brought in Washington Heights. Was a Yekeshe Kehillah for many years. He was in fact from Frankfurt, where he learned in Litvishi Yeshivas. He was a big baldeya in the United States for many years in New York. And somebody asked him, he'd been asked for over a couple of years after the re-establishment of the State of Israel and the rebuilding of Ore Yerushalayim and Ore Yehuda, was the halacha of Avelus of the Churban, did it apply to the same level that applied prior to this situation? In fact, we talk about Churban Yerushalayim. We talk about in fact the halachas apply of Kriya when we see Ore Yehuda bechurbonon. What is considered Churban if we see cities being rebuilt and re-inhabited by Yidden Eretz Yisrael? So in fact, the kasha is not only a politically charged kasha. It's actually it has a good mokum in halacha. The Beis Yosef in fact brings this kasha. It's not a chiddush. The Beis Yosef says in the halachas of Kriya of Ore Yehuda, he says, what happens if we see a city which is actually inhabited now by Jews and rebuilt by Eden and Israel? He says, why should we still do Kriya on these when we see these churbanos? So the Beis Yosef says, you should still do Kriya because they're still not under Jewish rule. So coming back to the situation of the previous last 60-something years, do we say that Jewish rule in Eretz Yisrael after the Poskim bring the, and the Taz and the Mogen Avraham both bring this Beis Yosef, that because there's no Jewish rule in cities in Eretz Yisrael, so even if Jews are inhabiting it and rebuilding these cities, we still do Kriya. Does that apply today?
Yeah.
So the Kasha is a good Kasha. So the Rav Shimon Schwab said a very interesting thing. He said he answered with a moshel, and he said that it's similar to a situation where you have a kala and a chosson that you're excited to get married, And the chosan had to go away for a time, tie up his affairs, bring over money, prepare for the chasana. And the kala remains in town and she's preparing her side of the chasana and she's waiting to hear from the chosan. And didn't hear for a long time. They'd made up that by the end of the year they'd get married. And the chosan actually, the kala's preparing her chasana and they prepared clothes and catering and a band. Everything is being prepared from her side and she's waiting to hear from the chosan to come. And they'd already set a date for the chasana. And he says that, when the chasana is ready and the band is playing and the families have come already, and the chosan still hasn't arrived, he says that's the biggest tsar. So that was his moshel. I think the nimshel is understood. That was his moshel of yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an opportunity to prepare what we can from our side, but there's a sign of things not quite right when the chosan didn't arrive yet.
Oh, yeah.